Welcome to Faith and Family. Your temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, USA. We're finishing up a week on parenting, God's wonderful gift of parenting, and of course, that involves the gift of children. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Salmonen. He's not only a Lutheran pastor, but he's a trained Christian counselor. And he's coming to us from Fort Wayne. He's teaching there at the Fort Wayne Seminary, but he also has a parish now in Michigan. Tell us about that, Brian.
Yeah, in fact, it's kind of unusual. I'm back to my home congregation, my hometown of St. John's, Michigan. I got confirmed there. I got ordained there 27 years ago. And now I'm back serving. Been there for 2.5 years, and it's a bit challenging, to be sure, but really a joy. And the Lord has blessed it like nobody's business in the last 2.5 years.
That's terrific. Don't they have a great golf course right there named St. John's even?
They have a few golf courses. I don't know how great they are. We also have a place up in Cadillac, Michigan. Now, McGuire's up there. Now, that's fabulous.
But I thought there's one that my wife and I played there near St. John's by the great Michigan architect Jerry Matthews. So I'll have to check that one out. Brian, let's start like this. And this is normally a call-in program, but we're pre-recording this. So we would offer to our listeners that if they have questions on parenting, they can email us at family@kfuo.org, and we'd be glad to forward them on to you, Brian, and then you could answer them direct or answer them through us,
right.
And we can still participate. So what in your mind and practice is the major difference between Christian parenting and non-Christian parenting?
Well, you know, it's a good question, and let me just back up. I have three children, a daughter, 25, a son who's 22, and a younger son who's 19 years old. And Casey and I've been married for 27 years, so it's been a real pleasure. But like any parent, you know, parents, we have our good days, our bad days, and there are challenges. Every parent knows that. I do know that some of the techniques might be the same between a non-Christian parent and a Christian parent in terms of maybe discipline, how you discipline, et cetera. But the fundamental difference is ultimately how we view our children. We view them as gifts of God. We view them as they don't belong to us. They never do, and although I think most parents would use phrases like they are my children, et cetera, they do not belong to us. We are called to steward them, to raise them up in the nurture and knowledge of our Lord, but they belong ultimately to our Lord Jesus Christ, especially now in Holy Baptism. The children belong to Him, to our Savior. But what a refreshing perspective it is to always view our children as gifts from Christ, and my responsibility and my wife's as mom and dad is to love them the best way possible, ultimately meaning introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing them to church, bringing them to Sunday school, to Bible class, confirmation, making sure that they're in the Word and Sacrament. It's a fundamentally different perspective, and I think everything becomes filtered through those lenses. In terms of even when I discipline, it is done not to punish but to discipline, to grow them up. Why? My ultimate goal is to help shape them into the man of God or the daughter of God that they are called to be. And so that makes parenting, I think, it adds another level, I think, of excitement, of hope, and also of expectation. You know, I always like that passage in 1 John 3 where John says, it's not yet clear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To be sure, let's talk about eschatology. I get that. But it's also a great reminder for me that we're in the molding process, in the shaping process, and the gift that we've been given as mom and dad are our lovely children. And they are the Lord's. They belong to him, and we're there to steward them as they move through their years.
You know, there's a great passage of that you're probably aware of in the Old Testament, Genesis 33:5, where, you know, Jacob is kind of anxious about meeting his brother Esau, and so he stages his family, you know, in kind of this processional way that puts his women and children kind of up front and Rachel and Leah and him kind of in the back. And when Esau approaches him, he asks him, who the women and children are with him, and he answers, these are the children whom God has graciously given your servant. And you're saying that has major implications for our parenting now.
Well, I think it does. I just preached on this. I just mentioned this in a sermon just recently, on Mother's Day, in fact. That as much as we love our children, And we do love them, and we are called to love them and care for them and nurture them and discipline them and encourage them, all those things that we moms and dads do. But it's always done with the perspective that they are first and foremost and always the Lord's. So that ought to impact what I do with my children, how I spend my money on my children. It ought to impact how I discipline my children. It ought to impact even, educational decisions for my children, what I do with finances. If it's true that they belong to the Lord, and it is true because of baptism, then my responsibility is to do whatever I have to do as mother and father, or what I have to do as dad, in conjunction with my wife, to create an environment where the children are going to be best nurtured and in the Lord. And so I think all those decisions are going to be enormously huge. And there's a tendency sometimes, though, not to do that. The negative side of parenting, and we're all sinful, so none of us are perfect, and I'm certainly not. I get that. But we begin to live our lives through the children as if they are mine and they're a reflection of me and how I'm doing, and I begin to add all kinds of burdens and expectations on the child that maybe are good but maybe not as well. And so I always have to step back, and I think it's really, really important for moms and dads always to remember that they're on loan, but they are a joy and a gift from the Lord. One other thing I think about, too, is it helps me as a parent, too, is if, when they're out of my sight. I'm not responsible for what they do when they're out of my sight. I get that. But what a great comfort is they belong to the Lord. Because let's face it, we live in a bad world. Sin happens. Tragedies occur. And we can all recount a lot of tragedies. Bad things happen. But I commend them to the Lord's care. I'm not always going to be able to watch. I'm not always going to be able to provide and protect. I'm finite. I'm a creature. So are our children, but the Lord isn't. And what a marvelous thing to be able to say, I can rest quietly. I know there are circumstances that are very upsetting for being a parent. But when they head out of the house, they belong to the Lord.
It's amazing.
And William Willeman is a chaplain at Duke University, and he wrote a book called Remember Who You Are. And it's a book about baptism. But I remember I read that book, and I remember sometimes as I would leave the house when I was a youngster, and I have a twin brother who's also a Lutheran pastor, but I had two older brothers as well, and Mom would say, "Now you remember who you are." And that meant something to us. You're a Solomon, and you conduct yourself accordingly. Well, I think about parenting. One of my goals is to help kids remember who they are, too. You belong to the Lord Jesus, so that means something. It means you're going to live your life differently than everybody else. And one of my tasks, I think, is because kids forget, we forget, we belong to the Lord.
That's great emphasis, Brian, that to always remember that you are a child of God. As you said, they're transferred into his kingdom at your baptism. And so you're the king's kids, and you've got to represent yourself as one of those king's children.
That's exactly right.
I had a great experience here recently. Last week, I have a second floor office here at the studio, and out I have a window air conditioner, and I noticed there was a nest out there, four beautiful blue robin's eggs in it. And so I watched the mom diligently set on that and hatch them, and four beautiful robins now that have grown so much. And I can remember, Brian, real specifically, my dad talking to me in the teenager years about his task was to raise us up in this nest until we're ready to fly away and start our own nest. And he was going to try to, along with my mom's help and the church and the schools and the rest, but it was his main job to make sure that I was turned out to be a good robin, a good Christian. And, once that he kicked me out of the nest and he said that was coming soon, I couldn't come back there and live. But I could come back and visit for just a little bit of time.
Those birds always come back, though, to roost.
And then he would always say to me, "Rod, I won't be watching you. I will be getting on your case to come to church and Bible study every Sunday with you, as I am now. But remember, you are Jesus' kid." And so that's great stuff, isn't it? And then the other thing that he said to me was, and the Lord took him a few years ago, he said, "Rod, I want you to remember that every night, every single day of your life, your mom and I will be on our knees by the side of the bed at 11 o'clock Mountain Standard Time praying for you and the rest of the family. And I want you to remember that. And we'll be praying for one thing, for the faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll be doing that for you and your brothers for the rest of your life." Boy, I do that now and say that to people. When I tell them I'm going to pray for you forever, I better do it because I know my mom and dad did. How comforting that is that they knew they were not the owners and creators as you were talking about. They're just the stewards, the managers. But we have great guidance on how to do that, don't we, from our Lord?
Well, yeah, I think that's a great word that you're sharing too, just about moms and dads praying for their children. That's certainly one thing that we offer and provide for our kids. But let's face it, the unbelieving community, of course, is not going to be doing that. But what an opportunity that God gives us, that every day we remember our kids in our prayers, that the Lord would be with them, that the Lord would protect them from all harm and danger, but that the Lord's also going to, through His Word, grow them up, help them mature, become young ladies and gentlemen for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great thing. You mentioned that, and I remember as a kid growing up, we would have devotions in our house, Paul's Prayer. And I remember one, and I don't know what I was doing, but I was gone. I was out doing something. And I came back home late at night, and there on the kitchen table, my father had opened the portal of the prayer of the Bible, and there was a note saying, "Don't forget to do your devotion."
Wow, what great modeling.
People can say, well, that's pietism or whatever, but I actually thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, I think it's terrific. I was going to ask you, Brian, because I know you're into this greater than I, that when you do counseling, a lot of times you have to break bad habits, bad models of behavior that we learn a lot of times from our parents, don't we? And so we're talking yep. here, are we not, about parents in our situations there in those cases, praying and devotionals and that they modeled really good Christian parenting behavior for us.
That's right. Well, they model it, and one of the things I have to do, and I think we all have to be honest, what a good Christian parent also does is, quite frankly, we're the first to admit that we're sinful.
Yeah.
That
which...
I am a sinner, and that I need to ask for my children's forgiveness at times, too. And that doesn't have to be an embarrassing thing. It doesn't need to be kind of an exhibitionist kind of thing. But when I sin, hopefully with the mirror of the law, I'm going to be the first one to say, you know what, please, kids, please forgive me. What a marvelous thing to model for your children. And also I would say this, and I'm going to be going off on a tangent here, so bear with me, but model for the children loving your spouse deeply, passionately, intensely, Christianly, bragging on your spouse, building up your spouse, but not putting down or demoralizing or belittling one spouse. And you see that a lot of times. You see it sometimes in Christian homes. And we never want to do that, but when it happens, the first thing we do is, oh, did I blow it? Pastor David Smith is a dear buddy of mine. He's a senior pastor of St. Paul de Pere there in St. Louis.
Sure.
And I remember David saying this. He was talking about marriage, but he says, when a man wakes up, the first words out of his mouth ought to be, "I'm sorry," because you just know you're going to blow it. So get it out of your mouth, tell your wife you're sorry, and just get on about the business of living out your day.
Boy, that's so true, isn't it?
Frankly, I think you've got a point, and I think dads and moms can model for their children, hey, listen, when I haven't been a good example, I really want to ask for your forgiveness. If I ask for the Lord, I want to ask for your forgiveness because I want to do that for you. Example. I think that is fundamentally huge, and we all know this. I teach counseling courses here at the seminary, and I harp on with the students that for good or for ill, we are just like our moms and dads. We are. And I just asked my students the other day, I said, how many of you, when you were young, said to yourself, I will never say what my dad said to me or my mom? And then, as you get older, not only do you say it, but you even sound like them. Because we are, for good or for ill, like our parents. And one of the challenges, I think, as a Christian mom and dad is, what were the great things that my father and mother gave me? And how can I pass along that legacy? And how can I celebrate what they did for me and thankful to God for those wonderful things they gave to me? But you know what? What are those bad things that I don't want to perpetuate? But you've got to be somewhat reflective. And you can't bury your head in the sand. You have to be open and honest that we all blow it. I certainly do. And how do I change some of those patterns that maybe I picked up over the years?
without even knowing it sometimes, which is really where counseling comes in, doesn't it, to help find patterns and explore them and see if they have any, you know, really merit to them. And then, you know, is it harmful? Is it destructive? Do we need to work on, you know, maybe amending those or doing away with the harmful patterns and trends in our life? And so that discernment is really critical, isn't it?
Well, it is. And that, you know, if people can do that on their own, great, you know, more power to them. Oftentimes, I think that's why, you know, having a good pastor who can sit and listen, who can care, and maybe be somewhat directive in terms of helping a person think that through, can also be a great blessing when we bring God's word to bear. But yeah, we all have blind spots. We all have blinders on. And we're not always aware of what some of our patterns or our issues might be in life. And so it's really helpful to be able to have a resource, whether it's a friend, a confidant, pastor, counselor, who can actually kind of walk with you and maybe walk through some of those issues with you as they begin to surface. And, okay, now, you know, the first step is being aware of them. The first step is being aware of our sin, our culpability, but then also our patterns. Now, what do I need to do? How do I begin to change some patterns? Because some of them are so ingrained. You know, it's like we probably all know people who, for whatever reason, they have a potty mouth. And it's almost second nature to use vulgarity and cuss words. And all of a sudden they realize and they want to change. But before you know it, those words come right back out again. Well, we want to help them figure out ways, what can I do now to change those patterns, to change those habits? And what's kind of cool, I always tell this to people, there's an old saying, you can never go home. Is that true? Sure you can. And that's the cool thing about the gospel, too, that the Lord forgives, gives me a new start. I'm a new creation in Christ. And if I need to go back even and see mother and father, because it's not just the parents, it's also the children, where I've blown it with my mom and dad, please forgive me. Where I've blown it with my children. Hey, listen, that was a long time ago, but we never quite dealt with it. I want to do that, and I want to step up to the plate and be a man, a Christian mom, and let's just talk and talk about the things that are really essential. You know, one other thing, as I'm just thinking out loud here with you, Rod, is Christian parents ought to be, of all people, they ought to be the ones that talk about things of substance, things of depth. To be sure, it's fun to talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, the Detroit Lions, and how they're going to make the Super Bowl, blah, 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 which we know will never happen. But it's fun to talk about those things, and that's part of life. But there does come a time when we get beneath the surface, when we begin to talk of things of importance, namely, hey, where are you with me? Where am I with you? How do I feel about you? I love you. I care for you. I forgive you. I thank God for you. But most importantly, where are you with Jesus Christ, and where is Jesus Christ with you? Let's talk about eternal things. In a little bit, if you give me some time, I want to share a story that to me was really helpful. But I think those are things that Christian parents want to go deep. We have a big God. We have a great God, a deep God, a profound God. And I think I want to know everything about my kids and help them think deeply and widely and broadly about life and life's issues. And we can do that because we've been redeemed, and we have a God who is there with us, who's created all things for our enjoyment and our good. And it's exciting to be able to explore the world with our children, knowing that what a wonderful gift they are and that God has given to us.
You know, Brian, you were refreshing some memories in my head that I hadn't even thought about for years. And I remember the very first time I had an opportunity to counsel as a pastor, just, you know, fresh out of seminary and just right there. One of my members and his wife were really struggling. And one of the big issues between them was the parenting problem with the husband, with the kids. And as I was talking to him about it and having him kind of unfold it for me, it sounded like that he was repeating the very ill treatment that he hated from his father with his own kids and didn't even know it. And so what you're sharing sounds so typical that at times we even repeat behaviors, patterns that we've learned from our parents, and we don't even know it. And when I talked to him about it, he said, I wasn't even aware I was doing the very thing I intensely hated. And so it was difficult, but through lots of effort, and I would say primarily the Lord's blessing, he was able to overcome this. But I think it's maybe analogous, Brian, and I know you're into this like I am, that, you know, with athletics, that sometimes your very worst habits under pressure will come out so easily and you don't even know it, and you hate it, right?
Stress does that.
Yeah, and I'm really an intense golfer, and I know when I'm sometimes at my most anxious, without even knowing it, I revert back to my worst habit in the swing, and life's kind of like that with parenting too. And so, as you were suggesting there, if we can work with a pastor, a counselor, and find out some of these weaknesses, just like I do with my swing coach with my golf game, you could kind of ward them off at times, but they're still going to sneak in there. But we know how to solve them as Christians, don't we? And you're alluding to that as really the strength, one of the strengths of Christian parenting.
Well, that's right. And hopefully we're always open to being taught. We're teachable. We want to learn more about what it means to be a good man, a good woman, a mom and a dad. So I'm always fully aware that, you know, I have made some bad decisions. But again, I think the one key as a good Christian parent is that openness and willingness to be taught, the openness and willingness to be confronted by the Word of God. And so if I do that, that's the first step then, owning my own stuff. As I tell my clients, as I tell my students, is hugely important. I have my own stuff, we all do. Owning it is the first step then towards dealing with it and addressing with it and not passing the buck. And even say if I developed a pattern from my parents that was unhealthy or dysfunctional, my responsibility now is to change it, not to blame mom and dad. I suppose I can help understand my situation by understanding what took place in my home, but that's different than blaming. I don't want to blame them. So moms and dads, we step up to the plate and we say, what are my issues? And I want to deal with those and address those things. And I think it's important to realize that we can't. See, the problem for some people, and this is not just with parenting, this is with a lot of issues. We make them out, our issues, to be a result of a personality issue or disorder. Well, personalities are very difficult to change if it's a personality issue. But most of the time, it's not a personality issue. It's a habit that was developed over time, and it's now impacting my life. But if I call it a personality issue, well, then I throw up my hands. I simply say, well, that's the way I am. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And how often have we said silly things like that? Of course you can. We can learn. And Freud always talked about determinism. We don't believe in that. What we believe that is in Christ now, we've been set free by the gospel. And so now I have been empowered and enabled to begin to say, I'm going to make some changes. Might be difficult. You know, the sanctified life, it's going to be hard. You know, I'm going to mess up. And when I do, I repent. But now there's something else involved in my life, namely the Holy Spirit working through His Word. And sin in the life of the believer, it does not reign, although it remains. It remains, but it does not have to reign anymore because of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's really refreshing and empowering that as a parent, I can just take a deep breath and say, you know what, my mom and dad didn't do a perfect job with me. I haven't done a perfect job with my kids. We've both been to Calvary, and because of that now, I'm going to take a real hard look at what can I do to be a better mom and dad. What can I do to connect with my children? And by the way, I think just asking those kinds of questions are enormously helpful. How can I grow? What areas can I grow? Are there ways I can connect with my children? Are there ways that I can communicate better with my kids? Those are great questions. Those aren't a Debbie Downer question. Those are kind of fun questions, and I think those are empowering because it opens up doors for growth.
Yeah, those are open, and they are opportunities for growth. So let's stop here, take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Pastor and Dr. Brian Salmonen. He's a Lutheran pastor and a trained, licensed Christian counselor about this great topic of Christian parenting. You can join us in a way by sending your emails to family@kfuo.org, and we will forward them on to Dr. Salmon, and he can answer them directly or back through us, and so we can still reach out and communicate in that way. And when we come back, let's talk more about some joys and trials of Christian parenting, and also how parenting really affects our relationship with God, and that runs both ways, to parents and to the children as well. So stick with us when we come back here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Chris Slattery founded Expectant Mother Care Frontline Pregnancy Centers. He's got a great idea to help more inner-city women and their unborn babies. Chris is renting flexible workplace space that comes with furniture and a receptionist. He'll staff them with skilled college and grad school interns who are multilingual, particularly in Spanish. Two interns will sidewalk counsel outside abortion mills that target poor and minority women, while two staff the pro-life center. They'll market the centers on the internet and through word of mouth. Operating hours will depend on demand. Chris is targeting Austin, Baltimore, Buffalo, Charlotte, Cleveland, Detroit, Miami, Philly, San Antonio, and Washington, D.C. for expansion. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org for more information.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Friday, May 31st, 2013. Today's day sponsors are Kirk and Cheryl Mattis. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO in honor and in celebration of their 44th wedding anniversary today. Once again, we say thank you to Kirk and Cheryl Mattis of Webster Groves, Missouri. Today's worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
You plan your day, plan a meal, and even plan for a vacation. But have you made plans to control your blood pressure? One out of every three Missourians has high blood pressure. Many don't know it. Over half don't have it under control. High blood pressure is a leading risk factor for heart attack and stroke. Work with your doctor on a plan to get your blood pressure under control. It's life-saving.
We care. A message from your local public health agency and the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Faith leaders and some public officials are warning of growing threats to religious liberty. Speakers at the 2013 National Religious Freedom Conference in Washington included the Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference.
We have the federal government attempting to oppress, hinder, dilute our religious freedom. An example would be the HHS mandate,
requiring contraceptive coverage in health insurance plans. The Reverend Eugene Rivers, an African-American pastor and leader in the Church of God in Christ, said he sees
a growing intolerance that expresses itself in a certain anti-religious bias.
Rodriguez said believers shouldn't face persecution or prosecution for living according to their faith. Panels at Thursday's conference criticized efforts to confine religious practice to worship apart from daily life. They also noted threats to religious rights at the state level and religious persecution abroad. I'm Steve Coleman.
Prices are rising, the devil's to blame. Moving the mountain that's got in the way. Prepping to meet him to find a plan. Deciding the fate of the family of men.
to Faith and Family, your temporary host, Rod Zwanitzer, having just a great time talking with Dr. and Pastor Brian Salmonen. He's pastoring up there in Michigan these days, also teaching our seminarians. And you've also got a fascinating web project going. Can you talk to our listeners a little about that, Brian?
There's always ZOE, ZOEScore.com, www.ZOEScore.com. If you can just bear with me, I'm kind of co-founder developer of it. We launched it about 10 years ago. It's an online premarital and marital counseling tool that is Christ-centered, it is cross-focused, it really is Bible-based, but it uses and integrates the latest research on marriage and the family within a Christian framework, the Word of God framework. We've got about 10,000 clergy and therapists who are using it. It's free for them to use. It's free for them to get trained online. And it's been a real blessing and resource to help our the people getting married, but also those in need of marital therapy. It's a marvelous, marvelous tool. So we've been, it's been a lot of work. I have to continually update the research on marriage and the family. But boy, what a great blessing to have this tool and a resource for our clergy and for therapists to use.
Do you do anything on there with parenting in either side of that, premarital or marital?
Yeah, one of the things we look at is family of origin issues and parenting styles. We look at 13 different categories based on the research, and one of them is, again, parenting is an important issue. So one of the things we try to look with premarital counseling is, how were you parented? Do you want to parent? How do you want to parent? And we look at agreement scores, how strongly do they agree with one another. But then we also look at how strongly does that agreement score compare with the research. What's the research say about that? And it really becomes a very good opportunity for the couple, the engaged couple, to start talking about, well, how do they want to start parenting together once they become husband and wife and have children. Just recently, I'm seeing a couple for premarital counseling, and this very issue came up in terms of family of origin, how they were parented. The one family, they were just from a different family, nice people, but the daughter came from a family where anything goes, you can talk about anything, there was freedom, there was flexibility, everyone felt comfortable, you're not walking on eggshells when you have to deal with issues. Parents are disciplined, not in an authoritarian, but more authoritative fashion. However, her fiancé came from the exact opposite, where you didn't talk about certain things. Religion and politics, off limits. Anything that was upsetting, off limits. The man never, ever saw his mom or dad hug or kiss, and never saw them or heard them say, I love you.
Wow.
Well, that's going to maybe play into how you're going to be parenting.
Sure.
So it was a grand opportunity to have them. It forces them maybe to talk about and deal with issues that either maybe they hadn't considered, or even if they had, now let's talk about them and figure out a way to develop a new parenting style in your new family. So, yeah, there is a component in ZOE score that deals with that.
Great. Now I would take it, Brian, that with that and your other experience and current included, you've been around a lot of parenting issues, the good, the bad, the ugly. Talk to us about what God has really given us, and I think we touched on this a little in the first segment, the joys of being a parent. What do you, in all your contact with couples and their parenting, what do you take away as the real joys and blessings of being a parent?
Well, as I said earlier, the very fact, and I really try to work on this, and again, I want to preface everything, I'm not perfect. I don't want to pretend that I am, but the real joy, quite frankly, is the ability to delight in my child's existence. I want to convey to them that I just am glad that you are here, that you exist in this lifetime, and now doubly so, that not only do you exist, but that you've been redeemed, and that we're going to be in glory forever. I find it such a thrill to be able to look at my children and to thank God for them, that they do exist, and what a joy they bring into our lives. And I've seen this with couples time and time again. I think that becomes a challenge for some parents, because it's so easy to get so involved with the vagaries of life, the stressors of life, the anxieties of life, that you begin to lose what's really, really important. and that's the joy of just being with your child, to spend time with your kid. Rod, you know, you're a golfer, and I don't pretend to be a good golfer, although I have gotten better. I got my boys started with tennis. I got my boys playing golf. And so we're on the golf course hanging out like crazy all the time, on the tennis courts. My daughter, not so much. She just never took to those things. But we like to do other things. But I think one of the responsibilities and opportunities, I would say, for a mom and a dad and a joy is, quite frankly, this whole notion of quality versus quantity, I think, is silly, because all that matters to the kids is time. And so the real joy is I want to spend time with my kids. Maybe that's catching butterflies with the kids, you know, the jar. Maybe that's fishing. Maybe that's golfing. But it is incumbent upon a mom and a dad to be there. And sometimes we want to force our children to talk when we're ready. I think the job of a good parent is to be there so that when the kids are ready, they can talk. And I think those are the joys, to be there, to delight in their existence. And what a pleasure it is to do that.
Boy, you're saying some really great stuff there, that just to acknowledge that they are, you know, a fellow human being created by God, redeemed by Him, sanctified by Him, and He wants to hang out with them and His family forever. That is just wonderful, Brian. And I think when you're talking about sharing that quality time with your kids too, you know, the thing that I heard people talk to me all of my parenting existence was that, you know, establish that relationship with your children so that when they really need you, you know, the open lines of communication will be there. And I think that's what you're talking about, isn't it? That you know, those that we call those bonding moments where, you know, you kind of seal the deal with them and they know that you truly do care for them, so that when they need you as a parent and some parental advice, they can go to you without sweating it, and enjoy, you know, you being their parent.
Well, that's right. I don't know if it's Woody Allen, I think it is, who said half of life, the most important in life, is simply showing up. And I think it is. It's showing up, it's being there. And now, does that create some stressors? Well, yeah, sure it does. But that's not in and of itself bad. Stress in and of itself isn't bad. But it means I'm going to put my kids, you know, I got to work, I got to have a job, I got to do certain things, I get that. But you make ball games. You take them fishing. You simply make time for those moments to occur, because it can't be manufactured. It only happens when you provide for the time to be there with your children. And, you know, our kids are not, they don't want to be on our time. They just want time. And I realize there's give and take, and there's always going to be some, you know, negotiation and management in terms of our time and how we get things accomplished. But I think one of the greatest dangers now in our culture is that we have lost, with technology and the internet and computer games, just the art of conversation, the art of spending time together quietly, the art of playing games together, cards or board games. We are transfixed, you know, by the visual, by television, by video, et cetera, movies. And there's a place for that, to be sure. But oftentimes those games get in the way of a relationship. You got to turn off the television, and you have to spend some time talking. And hanging out in the backyard, playing catch. It's amazing how conversations occur, not when I force the conversation, but when I simply show up to do something with my kids, and before you know it, we're walking on the golf course, and your son starts opening up and talking. You're hitting some tennis balls, and you sit down, take a good glass of water, and then, boom, you start talking about some things. It's not brain surgery. It is hard work, but it's also, once we parents kind of get over that we have to be so busy and productive and working and doing this or that or everything else, and realize the most important thing in life is right in front of me, my children, then it becomes a real joyful opportunity.
You know, it seems too that, you know, as a parent, you're always wanting to have, you know, what you were talking about, to you know, get off kind of the trivial, menial stuff and get down to the real nitty-gritty, and didn't know quite how to turn the conversation that way. But, you know, I'm with you, Brian, that, you know, in my experience, I've just found that letting the children know that you're there for them, and then, you know, you enjoy them, you appreciate them, you want to hang out with them, it creates moments where they're going to bring it up. what you want to talk about, they're going to bring it up. I know it's that way with my children, that, you know, when I least expect it, you know, like, especially I remember, you know, as an adult, when my dad and I would hang out together, and we would like to go fly fishing together, he would always tell me, you know, Rod, this is the very best time for me. Not so much fly fishing. I really enjoy the heck out of that. Both of us did. But just you and I hanging out. And, you know, then we'd be laying there by the lake because the trout were fishing. And I'd ask him, you know, hey, Dad, I want to ask you something. And I could see it in his eyes, just the joy that I even, you know, wanted to ask his opinion. And you know that as a parent, that you love it when your kids ask you for advice, for opinions. You don't want to have to solicit that. But you're talking about, really, I think, Brian, working over time to by just letting them know. And I'm back to your excellent point, just consistently let them know, gosh, I'm glad that you were you're given to me as a child. I'm so proud of you, and you want to hang out with them. That bonding and those moments will come, and kind of let the kids do it. It's fantastic.
Well, if I could just share a story that to me has been really helpful. I had this in my first book that came out, No Ordinary Men, and I'm sure you've read it many, many times.
Oh yeah, it's worn out.
Well, that's what I thought. It came out in 2000, but I share a story, and it was a true story, and I was told this. It didn't happen to me. One of my advisors, when I was getting my PhD, was Dr. Brian Jory. And he shares a story that he was working with a mom and a dad in therapy, and they took off on the Christmas holidays on vacation. They drove down to Florida. It's a sad story, but a profound point. When they crossed the Florida-Georgia line, a drunk driver came across the median in his car and hit their car head-on.
Oh, no.
Tragically, it killed the mother immediately. It killed the daughter immediately. The 5-year-old son in the back of car was severely injured, and the dad, for some reason, because he either had the airbag or what have you, he was able to walk away with a few cuts and bruises. Dad came back to St. Louis, buried his wife, buried his daughter, jumped on a plane, and flew down to Florida to be with his 5-year-old son. And when he got there, he entered the hospital, and he was greeted with the very sad news that his 5-year-old son was brain dead, and they needed permission to terminate life support. The dad said to the doctors, okay, but I want 10 minutes alone with my son. And Dr. Joy shared this with me. He says, you know what? I wasn't in that room when that dad went into that hospital room, but I will tell you this. That dad did not talk about things you can see. He didn't talk about the big house that he had purchased. He didn't talk about his boats and all the toys that they had provided. He didn't pull out his wallet and show him the gold card and all the money he had made. He didn't talk about the kids' grades, you know, and all those things as a place for him. Rather, he talked about things that you can't see, like, I love you. You're going to see your mom and your sister real soon. You're going to see Jesus real soon, and Jesus Christ loves you. And then he said this phrase that has stuck with me to this day. Joy says this: you put people in the trenches of life, and what they think is real changes drastically. We think that the stuff we see is the real stuff, and we spend all of our years, all of our lives trying to purchase it, buy it, earn it, take care of it. And lo and behold, once you're in the trenches of life, you no longer really care about that car, those clothes, and those are fine. There's a place for them. But most importantly, you talk about the things that matter most. Where am I with you? Where are you with me? Where is God in Christ with us? And then I remember of the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. We look at the things not that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but we look rather at things that are unseen, for the things that are unseen are eternal. And it seemed that to me was such a profound story, because I want to make certain that we're talking about things that are eternal, not just when the trenches of life hit, but throughout all of life, so that when those trenches do hit, we are prepared, we are ready to talk about the one thing needful, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean that we preach all the time and we jam Jesus down our kids' throats. I mean, we talk about all kinds of things. But we talk about what's important. And, you know, how are you? And ask about how they're doing with their, in their relationships with their boyfriends, with their girlfriends, with their friends at school. And we're really showing a vested interest in what they're up to and where they're going. And by the way, Meg Meeker is a brilliant author and she wrote a book called Fathers and Daughters, and she's a physician up in Traverse City, Michigan. And she talks about the important role that dads have in their daughters' lives, and so many girls' lives are messed up because dad simply was not there, and because dad felt awkward because she's a female, or whatever the issue might be. But the fundamentally important role that father has in the life of his daughter, man, does it make a difference.
And I would assume and bet a lot of money, Brian, that you would agree with this. That's exactly why God put us in that vocation, in that call as a parent, to make them know that we believe in the important stuff there, the 2 Corinthians 4 at the end stuff, the stuff that you can't see that's eternal, that's valuable. And so that's always the side, too, that at times we get so caught up in the heyday. And, you know, what saddens me is you hear some parents that I don't know if they do it deliberately or unconsciously. They make their kids feel that those grades, their achievements in, you know, extracurricular activities are the most important thing. And don't let the family down, you know, on any of that. And so you hear about these young kids that, you know, can't hold up to that pressure. Where the opposite would be, I remember my parents, especially my dad, who was successful in business and athletics. He'd always say to me, you know, Rod, it's important to give it your very best. But you know what's even more important is that Jesus gave you his very best, Rod. And he'd always talk like that to me. And, you know, till I got older, Brian, I thought my dad was a real weirdo. I really did. And I told him on his deathbed that, and he knew this, that I thought he was the biggest weirdo till I turned about 19 or 20. And then he started becoming very, very wise to me. And you know, it's as you know, sometimes it's tough love being a parent. And sometimes you've got to take the... If you really love your kids, you're going to be tough with them, just like the Lord is tough with us at times, because he really does love us and he wants the best for us and he's not going to allow stuff to harm us. I'm that way with my grandkids too, you know. I just love the heck out of them and I don't want anything bad to happen to them. But, you know, it's like those robins. Got to get out of the nest and flex your own wings here, and I'm just going to watch and trust, put you in the Lord's hands, and he's better than I am at it. So kids got to know that important stuff is, I think, what you're really giving us today, Brian.
Yeah, and you know, one of the, I think, questions that every believer in Christ, I think, ought to be always asking, but certainly a mother and a father, a Christian mom and a dad, is this, and we're always asking moment by moment, what's the loving thing to do? What's the loving thing to do? And you keep on asking the question because every moment it changes and the situation may vary. So sometimes my children, you know, they need a blue steel kind of love. They need tough love. You know, I might have to discipline you. I might have to ground you. It can be debated, but I might even have to spank you, whatever the case might be. And I do it not because I want to, that it's fun, but because I love you. Or maybe they need blue velvet love. They need tender love. They need some TLC. They need a hug. And so one of our tasks, I think as a mom and dad, is constantly scanning the horizon of our children's lives, asking, what do they need? What do they need me to be? Now, we still have to take care of our own needs, and I get that, and I really do, because you have to be healthy yourself. But at the same time, though, it's my responsibility as mom and dad. I always want to be intensely interested in the nuances, the details of my children's lives, so that if they need something, if possible, I can provide that. Not in the sense of mollycoddling, not in the sense of enabling, because that's the worst thing to do for kids, but maybe it's tough love, maybe it's tender, but the only way I'll ever know is if I keep on asking the question, what's the loving thing to do for my children right now?
Sure, and that's a great one. You can't sometimes answer that one really fast. You have to go and weigh it and maybe pray about it as well. Brian, let me ask you this question. What can our churches do to resource good Christian parenting?
You know, that's a good question. It really is. You know, there's some good stuff out there. I mentioned Meg Meeker's book. I think Mike McManus has written a book called Marriage Savers, but there's a whole section in there on parenting. James Dobson has done a lot with it, but, you know, it really comes back to the leadership of the church. In our congregation, well, we have what's called a marriage-saving congregation, and what I'm trying to communicate to our church, but also our community, is that you want a strong family, come to our church. You want a strong marriage, come to our church. You want strong parenting skills, come to our church. And so I think one of the things our churches need to do is be open to, you know, talk about parenting issues, talking about discipline issues, maybe offering a parenting class or workshops. There's a lot of good resources out there, but I think it begins with the leadership saying, we need to deal with it. Now, frankly, you know, even in confirmation, I think it provides a grand opportunity to get into this topic with Fourth Commandment issues, you know, honor your father and mother, there may be well with you, thou mayest have one of the earth. And what does that mean, Fourth Commandment? And so oftentimes when I get to that issue, I have moms and dads come on in with my confirmation class, and we start talking about what are some of the issues that the parents have, that the kids have with mom and dad, and what can we talk about together as moms and dads with our children, maybe to deal with this in a new and a better way, in a godly way, in a Christ-centered way. So I think it's, you know, keeping your antenna open and your radar open for those opportunities to teach and share when scriptures come along. Father's Day, talking about, I think we ought to talk about fathers, the Bible does, mothers, importance of moms, what does that mean? And really put, you know, some elbow grease into thinking, studying, teaching, and preaching on these issues and raising them in the lives of God's people.
So keep this before the people's eyes that, you know, this is a God-given vocation and call to be a father, to be a mother, to be a child, to be a grandparent, and all down the road. And God talks about it and prays about it, and we should too. So well said. And so intentionally, we as being the family of God should talk about life in the family.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Word of God does. Jesus was part of a family. And we now also have a Christian family, of course, in Christ. But I think we really do need to talk about those things and being intentional about what can we do to facilitate and help. No, one of the things to do is raise the question. Even sometimes what I've done in the church is put out like a survey form. What are some issues that you deal with as a mom and a dad that maybe the church could address? What are the struggles that you have? What are the joys that you have? Are there ways to celebrate that? So I think there are some things that we can do. But again, you have to be kind of very intentional in terms of thinking that through.
Sure, sure. And there, you know, out of everything that we've said too, I think there's this overall trust that God is going to take care of our kids when we kick them out of the nest and tell those little robins to fly off and don't come home to live anymore. Come home to visit, you know, us and bring your little robins with you. And trusting that God is going to continue the good stuff that we put in there and take care of them. And you know, it's hard for me to realize that as my daughter grew older and had grandkids, that I couldn't be that close and couldn't solve. But I knew God was always going to put people in her path and help her and take care of her, which he did faithfully and really taught me something. Almost, I guess, what we're saying, the main actor in parenting is really God, isn't it?
Well, it is, yes. He's our Heavenly Father. He's not only giving birth in the sense of creating us, but now he's really our Heavenly Father in the sense of redeeming us through Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. What a great joy. Absolutely. He's the ultimate parent, always there, always loving, always healing. You bet.
Always forgiving. And so, you know, if we show our kids that we really love that God and we want to follow him with all our soul, but we never do it quite right, and we ask him for forgiveness, we ask our spouse's forgiveness, we ask our kids for forgiveness, our parishioners, everyone else, they can really learn what this true God and a relationship with him is all about.
You better know it, yeah, and that's always a good gospel word, absolutely.
Yeah. Dr. Brian Solomon, and we are so pleased to have you on Faith and Family this day, talking about parenting. And we look at hopefully you coming back very often and talking about these important family issues. And I hope you like the title that we pick, because we don't think there's any two better, more important words out there than faith and family. So we kind of put them together.
You better know it. And thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure and privilege, Rod, to talk about these issues. And I really do look forward to being with you all again.
Great. And we're going to put a link to your new Zoe counseling group right on the archive version of this show, Brian, so people don't have to remember it. They can just click on the link and go right to that source. I was on there today looking at it. It looks great. Congratulations on that. And
Thank you very much,
continue to look at that. And I think in the near future, the next couple of weeks, we're going to have you and some of your colleagues on to talk more about that resource for not only Christianity, but for the church, I mean, the world at large, too.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to having a conversation with you and your listeners.
Brian, thank you so much. God's blessings up there in Michigan. And we'll talk to you soon here on Faith and Family. Yep.